Okay, I'd like to get started again. Thank you. For this last session, Standard Setting Accomplishments and Priorities, this session will be moderated or co-chaired by both Greg Skates and I in the Office of Chief Auditor. This session, as many of you may know, we normally, at our last meeting of the year, talk about our standard setting priorities and accomplishments as the first session, and we flipped it because we really thought, given the current economic environment, that that subject really deserved attention as first on our list. And so just based on scheduling, this is where this fell. So this is also an important topic to us, and we will be presenting you with our outline of activities over the past year, as well as what we're proposing to do going forward. So with that, I'll turn it over to Greg to start us off.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. As Jennifer mentioned, we want to talk about the standard-setting priorities for the upcoming year. First, I'd like to start with a report on our standards-related accomplishments to date this year, followed by an overview of the topics the board believes should have the highest priority. After some brief remarks, then we will open the floor up to discussion, and we would like to have your input at that time. The significant standards-related accomplishments since last year's annual SAG meeting indicate where the standard-setting staff and the board have devoted their attention and resources. Many of these accomplishments relate directly to the priorities that were discussed last year. The first of our slides includes a listing of these accomplishments. Earlier this week, the board proposed for public comment, seven auditing standards that collectively would update the requirements for assessing and responding to risk during an audit. This has been a significant project, and it addresses core concepts underlying the audit, such as identifying and assessing risk of material misstatement, the auditor's responses to the risk of material misstatement, evaluating audit results, audit planning and supervision, consideration of materiality and planning and performing an audit, audit evidence and audit risk, and an audit of financial statements. Future auditing standards would build on the fundamental principles in these proposed standards. We believe that the board's proposed risk assessment standards, if adopted by the board, would result in improvements to audits and issuers in several ways. First, the proposed standards would update the existing requirements to take account of the improved risk-based audit methodologies currently in use by some of the auditors. Second, the proposed standards should enhance the integration of the audit of the financial statements with the audit of internal control over financial reporting, resulting in more effective audits. Improvements in the standards also address financial statement-only audits. Third, the proposed auditing standards would integrate the auditor's current responsibilities for considering the risk of fraud during the audit. This integration would emphasize that consideration of fraud is a central part of the audit process and should prompt auditors to make a more thoughtful and thorough assessment of fraud risk and develop appropriate audit responses. Finally, these proposed standards reflect an effort to reduce unnecessary differences with the risk assessment standards of other standard setters. The proposed standards were issued again on Tuesday for a 120-day comment period. Comments are due on February 18th of 2009. The next item, engagement quality review. On February 26th of this year, the board proposed a new auditing standard entitled Engagement Quality Review, which would supersede the interim concurring partner review requirement. Section 103 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act requires the board to adopt in its auditing standards a requirement for a concurring or second partner review and approval of each audit report and concurring approval in its issuance. We commonly refer to the concurring or second partner review as the engagement quality review because we believe this term is more reflective of the objective of this review. The board received 38 comment letters on this proposal, most of which came from the auditing profession and issuers. Many of the letters included alternatives to the proposed requirements in this standard. The staff is in the process of evaluating these comments In response to these comments, the staff plans to make a recommendation to the board in the next few months. The next item, the last item on this slide, has to do with audit practice alert number 2 on December 10th, 2007. The staff issued this alert entitled Matters Relating to Auditing Fair Value Measurements of Financial Instruments and the Use of Specialists. This alert was issued in response to developments in the credit markets and the difficulties of determining fair values when direct observation of prices in an active market are not available. The alert reminds auditors of their responsibilities for auditing fair value measurements of financial instruments and when using the work of specialists under the existing standards of the PCAOB. The alert focuses on specific matters that are likely to increase audit risk related to the fair value of financial instruments in a rapidly changing economic environment. The alert remains relevant to issues being raised about fair value measurements in the current economic environment. Next, on January 29th of this year, the board adopted auditing standard number 6, evaluating consistency of financial statements and amendments to its interim standards that supersede the interim standard AU section 420, consistency of application of generally accepted accounting principles. Auditing standard number 6 and the related amendments also removed the hierarchy of generally accepted accounting principles from the interim auditing standards. The board adopted the auditing standard in response to the Financial Accounting Standards Board issuing Statement 154, Auditing Accounting Changes and Error Corrections, and Statement 162, the Hierarchy of Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. On September 16th, the SEC approved Auditing Standard Number 6. This standard and the conforming amendments are effective 60 days after SEC approval. Thus, this standard becomes effective on November 15th of 2008. The next item and last item on the slide has to do with the Ethics and Independence Rule 3526 and an amendment to our Rule 3523. On April 22nd of this year, the board adopted an Ethics and Independence Rule, Rule 3526, communication with audit committees concerning independence. This was adopted to enhance the communication between the auditor and the audit committee by requiring the auditor prior to accepting an initial engagement under the standards of the PCAOB to describe in writing to the audit committee all relationships between the auditor and any affiliates of the auditor and the potential client or persons in a financial reporting oversight role at the potential audit client that may reasonably be thought to bear on independence. Rule 3526 supersedes the board's interim standards, the Independent Standards Board's standard number 1, entitled Independence Discussions with Audit Committees, and also 2 related interpretations. The board also adopted an amendment to Rule 3523, Tax Services for Persons in Financial Reporting Oversight Roles. The amended 3523 does not prohibit tax services provided during the portion of the audit period that precedes the beginning of the professional engagement period. This amendment to Rule 3523 became effective on August 22nd of 2008, the date the SEC approved both the amendment and Rule 3526. The Rule 3526 became effective on September 30th. In addition to standard setting projects, it's also important to mention that there are a variety of other activities in which the staff of the Office of the Chief Auditor is involved throughout the year. For instance, the Office of the Chief Auditor contributes substantial amounts of time in order to assist the PCAOB's other divisions and offices by, among other things, advising and consulting on projects and activities, reviewing inspection reports and enforcement recommendations, and responding to inquiries from outside parties. The Office of the Chief Auditor devotes time as an observer in various activities of the Financial Accounting Standards Board, as well as in various international standard-setting activities. The office also meets regularly with representatives from the U.S. Government Accountability Office and the U.S. Auditing Standards Board to discuss respective standard-setting activities. The office also has been involved in monitoring the SEC and Treasury advisory committees. And finally, the office is involved in participating at various educational programs, including the PCAOB's forums on auditing in the small business environment. Now I'd like to turn the next part of our discussion before we have the open discussion over to Jennifer Rand, who will outline our current standard setting priorities.
Thank you, Greg. So next I'd like to outline our current priorities. The items on this next slide, or the slide that's up here right now, include a listing of current priorities, which are matters we expect to give significant attention to during the next 12 months, and many of these will indicate timing with respect to our proposed activities. First is completing proposed standards. As Greg just mentioned, this year we proposed two new standards, or actually more than that, one on engagement quality review and then seven proposed standards related to risk assessment. These projects obviously will remain a priority for us, and we intend to complete engagement quality review in 2009. We similarly intend to complete the risk assessment standards in 2009, although the timing is subject to the comments we receive from exposure. As Greg mentioned, that went out for a 100-day comment period. It is a significant effort for us, and we will certainly be carefully evaluating the comments we receive. The next group relates to our active standards projects, and these are projects that the staff is currently devoting significant time to. First is related to fair value and specialists. As I just mentioned, we have devoted significant time in evaluating the current auditing standards related to fair value and specialists. We are considering both standards contemporaneously because specialists are increasingly used by both auditors and management with respect to fair value measurements. The staff has been following the developments in the current credit crisis and how the current economic environment may affect the development of new auditing standards. As it relates to fair value, this project encompasses updating the existing standards on auditing accounting estimates, auditing fair value measurements, and auditing derivatives and other financial instruments. These are three separate standards under the board's interim standards. Then in the specialist project, we are evaluating the requirements regarding the auditor's use of specialists in instances where a company engages a specialist or employs a specialist and the auditor uses that specialist work as evidential matter. And we're also looking at the situation where the auditor engages a specialist him or herself and uses that specialist in connection with the audit. The fair value and specialist project is a very high priority for us, and the staff anticipates issuing a concept release for public comment, and our goal is by the end of 2008. With respect to confirmations, we are reevaluating the auditor's use of confirmations to corroborate a company's account balances and transactions with third parties. The existing standards do not address all areas for which direct confirmation with third parties may be preferable to applying other audit procedures and certain practice issues, such as when management requests the auditors not to confirm and authenticating confirmation responses received electronically. This project is also considering fraud risk as it relates to confirmations. The staff has devoted significant time to this project in the last several months and anticipates that a proposed standard will be issued for public comment in early 2009. Regarding related parties, we are reevaluating the auditor's obligation for the identification and evaluation of related parties and related party transactions, as well as fraud risk factors, and considering what direction is needed to help auditors satisfy that obligation. The staff has devoted significant time to this project in the last several months and anticipates that a proposed standard will be issued for public comment in 2009. Regarding the guidance for auditors of smaller companies related to auditing standard number 5, last year on October 17, 2008, the PCAOB published for public comment staff guidance on auditing internal control over financial reporting for smaller companies. The comment period provided an opportunity for further improve that guidance. The staff has considered the comments received together with information we've received this year from our inspections group on observations of auditor implementation of auditing standard number 5. The staff plans to finalize this guidance by the end of the year. regarding the action plan for review of interim standards. Last year, you may recall, we mentioned that the staff began formulating some preliminary views with respect to the board's interim standards. As you are aware, shortly after the board's inception, the board adopted the existing standards of the AICPA on an initial transitional basis and called them our interim standards and indicated that a schedule and procedure for the review of those interim standards would be established. In fulfilling the board's objective, we plan to develop a concept release to obtain public comment and feedback regarding the board's review of the interim standards. We may also seek additional advice from the Standing Advisory Group on this subject next year. We anticipate issuing a concept release in early 2009. Then as it relates to our standing consider priorities in general, and it's not on here in our slide, but it's worthy of mentioning, that's a consideration of work of other standard setters. In connection with our standard setting projects, we plan to consider the work of other standard setters as we work on individual projects. For instance, we will consider the IAASB standards on fair value, specialist confirmations, and related parties. We will also consider relevant work of other standard setters and regulators. For instance, as part of developing the proposed risk assessment standards, among other things, we made an effort to reduce unnecessary differences with other standard setters. We are seeking feedback on that approach in the risk assessment project, but regardless of our approach in writing standards, we will continue to evaluate relevant work of other parties. Next, I'd like to turn to other matters that do affect our priorities, and these are not on our list, but they're worthy of being highlighted because they're issues we're certainly monitoring and giving attention to. The first relates to federal advisory committees. As you're aware, there were two federal advisory committees which focused on the accounting and auditing profession in 2007 and 2008. The SEC established the Advisory Committee on Improvements to Financial Reporting, known as the CIFER Committee, to provide advice to the SEC on the U.S. financial reporting system with the goal of reducing unnecessary complexity and making information more useful and understandable for investors. The U.S. Department of the Treasury established the Advisory Committee on the Auditing Profession, known as the Treasury Advisory Committee, to provide advice and recommendations to the Department of the Treasury on the sustainability of a strong and vibrant public company accounting profession. While a few recommendations of the CIFER Committee involved the PCAOB, the Treasury Advisory Committee made a number of recommendations related to the PCAOB. The CIFER Committee issued its final report on August 1st of this year, and the Treasury Committee issued its final report on October 6th of 2008. Both reports outline recommendations to the SEC, the FASB, and the PCAOB. Several of the recommendations relate directly to standard setting, and at the February 2008 SAG meeting, the SAG discussed the CIFER recommendation relating to professional judgment, and during this meeting, the SAG has discussed two of the Treasury Advisory Committee recommendations related to signing the auditor's report and the feasibility of developing audit quality indicators. At this time, the board is in the process of evaluating the recommendations from these two federal advisory committees related to the PCAOB. Next involves changing accounting standards. The staff works closely with and monitors FASB projects related to accounting standards because changes in accounting standards may affect the board's auditing standards. For example, earlier this month, the FASB issued exposure drafts for two proposed accounting standards, one related to going concern and the other related to subsequent events. The Office of the Chief Auditor is currently evaluating these exposure drafts and considering whether the board's auditing standards will need to be amended in light of the proposed accounting standards. The staff is also monitoring the FASB developments related to the Accounting for Loss Contingencies project. Then finally, Securities and Exchange Commission actions. The staff is also monitoring two SEC projects, one related to International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, and the other relating to Extensible Business Reporting Language, XBRL. Specifically, the staff is monitoring the SEC's project on potentially allowing U.S. issuers to prepare financial statements in accordance with IFRS. The staff is evaluating what type of effect the SEC's project will have on the board's interim auditing standards. Additionally, in May 2008, The SEC issued for public comment a proposed rule on mandating the use of XBRL-based filing program interactive data to improve financial reporting. The proposal does not require any form of auditor assurance in XBRL-submitted documents, but it did seek public comment on whether auditors should be required to provide that type of attestation. The staff is monitoring the SEC's activities and will revisit the PCAOB staff questions and issues that we issued a few years ago in May 2005, and those staff questions and answers addressed attest engagements regarding XBRL information furnished under the XBRL Voluntary Financial Reporting Program on the EDGAR system. So we will evaluate our guidance, interact with the SEC under directions they'll be taken, and determine if any changes are necessary once the SEC does finalize its rule. Finally, in summary, these topics represent our view of standard setting priorities as of today. The final set of priorities is determined based on the results of the PCAOB's oversight of registered public accounting firms, monitoring of the environment, and consultation with the board standing advisory group, among other factors. The standard setting process includes, among other things, consideration of the results from the board's oversight activities, the work of other standard setters, advice from the SAG, research, and solicitation of public comments. The board and its staff carefully consider the priority level of each potential standard setting project and allocate staff and board resources accordingly. Obviously, changes such as in the economic climate, as well as any new legislative initiatives, could cause the board to adjust its priorities over the year. With that as the backdrop of the proposed standard setting priorities, we would now open up the floor for your input and advice, reactions to what we've presented to you this afternoon. Cindy Richson.
Thank you. I have a question and a comment, I guess. My first question is, in January of 2007, PCAOB issued a report on the aspects of the board's interim auditing standards that address the auditor's responsibility with respect to fraud, principally AU Section 316, and that in the report the board did not change or propose to change any existing standard, nor is the report meant to provide a new interpretation of any aspect of existing standards, and that this report talked about certain observations made in the course of board inspections. And yesterday in our quality discussion breakout sessions, which was a great session, the topic arose that under, I believe it's Sarbanes-Oxley, a certain part of the, which we've talked about, of the inspection findings have to remain confidential because the audit firms have a year to cure, et cetera. And so we were, one thing to consider, I guess, is, especially in light of a new administration coming in November at the election, is perhaps the PCAOB, if that information that now is required legally to be confidential would be helpful in identifying quality drivers or otherwise be useful to at least seek additional flexibility legislatively to give PCAOB the authority that they need to make useful, good usefulness of that information on a broader scale than I'm sure currently are doing behind the scenes. So my question then is, at the SAG meeting in June of 2004, we had talked about SAS 99 on financial fraud, and then you guys did the briefing paper in September of 2004. So my question is, in all the priorities and standard setting going forward for the next year, and I know you mentioned just a few minutes ago about how fraud you were looking at in terms of confirmations and another issue, is there any thoughts that the standard should be looked at again, or what's the thinking on that topic? Thank you.
I think you had two observations in there. The first that I heard, I think, and I just want to clarify, was related to the inspection reports and Sarbanes-Oxley itself. And I think I heard your recommendation is it would be nice if the Part 2 findings or the non-public could be made public. Perhaps there are legislative change, with the change in the government. Is that correct? Kind of just...
Yes, or at least give PCAOB more authority to use that information in a more public way than my understanding is that currently you're restricted by Sarbanes-Oxley from doing that.
Right, we are. Okay. The second related to consideration of fraud and a few just a few comments with respect to that. Certainly, you made reference to the inspection report or observation that was issued in January 2007 regarding firms' implementation of AU 316 or SAS 99, which is regarding fraud. One thing we just did recently, part of those observations related to auditors' assessment of risk and how they are responding to that fraud risk factors. And one thing we did in our risk assessment standards was incorporate much of that direction into the risk assessment process because we saw that there would be room for improvement where auditors were kind of going through that thought process looking for risk on a mechanical basis, and we think we're very hopeful that integrating that direction into risk assessment and the auditor's overall focus should help. Second, I made reference to the Treasury Advisory Committee, and there was a recommendation that wasn't mentioned, but that relates to the PCAOB revisiting the auditors or the audit report and how the responsibility for fraud is outlined in that, plus the overall responsibility. So I mentioned that the PCAOB is in the process of evaluating that. We did bring forth for this meeting two topics. That one, based on the timing of the report, is significant. We did not have time to prepare for that discussion if we wanted to do so. But it's certainly something, as I mentioned, fraud and other projects that we have with confirmations related parties. So we're certainly mindful of it, and we will have ongoing focus, particularly in light of considering the recommendations from the Treasury. Ernie Ball.
Thank you. I said I have about 4 points that I'd like to make. The risk assessment proposal went out Tuesday. We have, being as how we've been here, we haven't had a whole heck of a lot of time to go through it. I did go through it briefly, and I was surprised, somewhat astounded, by something that I found not there. We have a very detailed comparison to the international accounting or auditing standards, but the AICPA standards, which have been effective for a year and which have been implemented by virtually all firms, are hardly mentioned at all. It would be really good if we knew where they were the same and where they were different. First point. Second point, you have a project to review the interim auditing standards. I would suggest that you closely monitor and maybe even participate in the Auditing Standards Board's Clarity and Convergence Project, because they're going through every one of those standards, and they're going to change them. They're going to rewrite them. The participation of this group would be very beneficial to everybody involved. One of the recommendations from the Federal Advisory Committee is actually something that I suggested last year at this meeting. That is a codification of the independence rules. Independence rules are quite complicated. They're in various places. If we could bring them together, that would be a real benefit to the profession. And particularly, if we could get our friends from the GAO and the DOL to participate in the same project, that would be really good. Last point. I've been involved with standard setting bodies for over 20 years now. I was intrigued with the discussion of SOP 94-6 yesterday. I was one of the authors of that standard. In all of my previous experience, standard setting has been done in the open, in the sunshine. I think this process could benefit from, you know, performing in the same manner. I think it would be very beneficial if you got input as you are developing standards, as opposed to only after they are developed. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a couple remarks. Ernie, you mentioned the proposed risk assessment standards and just the comments you made. I would encourage you to certainly issue a public comment letter to us, you know, to express those views, because I'm just not in a position, because it is an open comment period, to really talk beyond that. The codification of the independence roles is certainly it's one of the recommendations that's kind of in the overview. And then transparency, we are a relatively new standard setter, and I certainly believe that our board is thinking of ways, you know, to enhance transparency further. But, you know, appreciate your comments on that. So let's see who's next. Joe Carcello.
Yeah, a couple of points. At the comparable meeting last year, I believe I raised the point, and I think some others may have raised it as well, that you have access to information that your counterparts at the ASB and the IAASB don't, and that's the inspection reports. And I encouraged you, as well as others, I believe, to really work at mapping the deficiencies that you've identified via the inspections into the standards where applicable, and to analyze whether those deficiencies result from weaknesses in the standards or weaknesses in performance relating to the standards. You didn't discuss whether you're doing that. I still think that's something that's well worth doing, because you're taking advantage of unique information that only you have. The second point would be, and I understand that there are extenuating circumstances with AS2 and AS5 and so forth, without going into all the extenuating circumstances. But I think most people would view the output of standards over the last 5 years as modest. And so one of the things that I think you should consider doing is really doing a pretty detailed analysis of whether your staffing is sufficient for the task. And when the Auditing Standards Board did this, I believe there were about 15 members on the ASB, but that's misleading, because all of those 15 people had two or three dedicated staff assigned to them. So there was really probably 45 or 60 people, and if needed, probably more than that. And your staffing is pretty modest. There have been alternatives discussed as to what you could do. One alternative that has been discussed is you don't avail yourself of other resources that might be available to you, either on a gratis basis or for on a fee for hire basis. And one of the possibilities, obviously, would be to involve people in the profession more in the process. Now, I know the concern with that is Sarbanes-Oxley gives you the opportunity to do this, but if you relied more on people who are in the profession, they certainly have the expertise. The concern is, would they write standards that are self-serving? But I think you can leverage your staff in evaluating that. And you can look at something that they might work on, and you say, no, this is just covering your backside. This is no good for the public interest. But they have the ability. I believe they have the willingness. And with appropriate oversights and checks and balances, you probably could really leverage your existing resources and be a lot more productive. So just something to consider.
Thank you, Joe. Lynn Turner.
Let me first echo a couple of points Ernie made. I, too, when the risk management standard came out, was looking through it and looking for that comparison with the existing standards and all. And I think it would be most helpful, especially if for this group, you could send us a red line type comparison between what's in the proposal versus what's in existing standards, U.S. standards, and international, so we could get a flavor for that, so we could write a meaningful comment letter back to you. And I think that would be most helpful. Second thing on transparency, I remember when twice I was following the Auditing Standards Board from the SEC perspective. I thought the ASB did a phenomenally good job in their public meetings and actually talking about the standards in the public meetings and why they were going where they were, rather than just go to a meeting and vote and then vote again once they got to a final standard. And I think it would behoove this board to adopt the same type of transparency that the Auditing Standards Board and the profession has used in their standard setting in the past, because the transparency you got is a huge step down from what's been there in the past, and I think it well serves investors. As far as priorities go, I would hope that the Treasury Committee recommendations will be taken up. You talked about the quality factors and auditor signature report, but the biggest item there, which is fraud, which gets into both auditor's report on fraud, as well as the fraud center, were hardly mentioned here. And I would certainly hope that that doesn't mean that you're not looking at doing those, and would put those at the very top. In fact, when I go back to what investors told you 5 years ago they'd like you to look at, one was the fraud standard, still haven't done that. One was getting into the auditor's report, still haven't done that. And in light of the current economic situation, there's a recommendation in there about annual reports so people can actually monitor and understand the financial stability of these firms given the economic situation that we have. And I think it would behoove you to put those on the budget or on the budget and in the priority. And in that regards, I have one question for the board members, and that is, does the board anticipate including in its budget for this next year money to do a fraud center as the Treasury Committee recommended?
Budget is still a work in progress, and that is a consideration, Lynn.